here the chlorophyll and the foliage starts to die, and that's when you start seeing the other colors show through. The carotenoids is the compound or the what's in the leaf that shows the orange red colors, and so that's why, and all the trees, I mean, not all, they all have different colors. You're definitely going to see, you know, bright reds, and the reds usually in a lot of cases in our native woods are probably going to be a variety of maple, obviously the red maple, and they're going to be, the red maples are green all season and then show a real brilliant red fall color. And that's a very common tree in our, a native tree in our area. You'll find it in our woods, and certainly you'll find it along riverbanks and along the lake over in Salina. They are a tree that will normally really like kind of wet feet. They're, you'll find them normally in what you call like a wet woods, which would be a woods that would be, you know, boggy or wet in the spring and then, you know, dry through the summer. So again, very, very, very common in our area. And the red maples, again, are going to show you a red fall color. The sugar maples are probably one of our prettiest trees as far as fall color goes. Sugar maples can show you a lot of different fall colors. It can show you, some might be predominantly yellow, some might be predominantly orange, some might have some red orange to them. Some of the varieties, like we have a variety called October Glory, and October Glory is going to show you oranges, reds, and yellows on the same tree. And again, sugar maples are very common in our area and a native tree. So oranges and reds, again, could be a sugar maple. And then anything in the Norway maple family usually tends to be kind of a golden yellow fall color. But also, you know, you may see some oranges with a Norway maple. And again, that is a very common tree in our area. So those are the ones that you're going to notice that are, I guess, probably in my eyes are going to be the brightest and very, very, very eye-catching. We did have up to the emerald ash borer, the ash trees, the native ash trees would show us some really spectacular fall color. Maples are definitely going to be have a longer duration. The color's going to last, turn earlier, and the foliage is going to hang on later. So the duration you'll find with maples is definitely going to be a lot longer, without question. Unfortunately, a lot of our ash trees are just simply gone. I mean, the emerald ash borer came through and just literally, you know, wiped them out in the cities, and then, you know, along the woods, creek banks, everywhere. The emerald ash borer just devastated our native ash trees. And the green ash was, again, a very common tree in our woods, and we sold the heck out of them in the landscape industry because they're great trees, fast growing, tolerant of clay soils, tolerant of heavy clay soils, and they had a nice fall color. They had actually a very vivid fall color, but the duration just wasn't very long. Anything in the green ash family typically was a brilliant yellow, golden yellow fall color, and then anything in the white ash family typically was a maroon to even like a purple fall color. So the foliage would go from a bright green to a maroon, maroon red or maroon purple fall color.
Are there any ash trees still around anywhere anywhere near us?
I certainly know of some ash trees that are hanging on and looking actually really, really, really well.
Oh, that's good.
But they are, I haven't seen any native that are like growing in the woods that have survived. I'm sure there's some out there. There's there's not very many, but there's some out there. I have some clients that have treated religiously with an insecticide, and I just actually was at a client's house over in Portland. They live out on the golf course, and he has two ash trees, one in the front and one in the back, and he's been treating them once a year ever since the insect got into our area, and I'm absolutely amazed how nice the trees still look. He's doing an incredible job of keeping them alive. He's retired, so he has the time, I suppose. But there's a few, and it's really sad. It's really unfortunate that insect got introduced into the United States, and just. You know, it's amazing, you know, kind of changing topics. It's amazing how it came in and it was transported into the United States via a boat, cargo ship coming obviously from China. It came down the St. Lawrence Seaway and came into the Great Lakes and docked in the Detroit area that along the coast, and that's where they first saw the damage was in Michigan, and it obviously came in through, you know, some tainted packing crates, skids, some sort of a wood product, got released into the United States. So it started in Michigan, and then in the 90s, and it spread, and now it's in ever the last time I checked, and you can go to OSU's website and check. It's, I believe, in every state in that short of a period of time, you know, early 90s. No, not early 90s. I graduated in early 90s. It'd be late 90s, early 2000. So in 20 years, it's in every state east of the Mississippi. And it follows highways. I mean, it must hitchhike. It follows highways because it's in Denver now. I got a good friend of mine I went to school with that is in the green industry in Denver, and actually in Vail, Colorado, and in the mountains. When I retire, I'm going to go work for him.
So you like cold weather?
Oh, I love the Colorado Rockies. Yeah. It's in Colorado now. It's all around Denver and the suburbs of Denver. And it's just really, it'll be all over the United States in a few years.
Yeah.
And our native species of ash trees have no resistance at all to it. So anyhow, it's definitely a problem. And it all started in Michigan. And that's what I like to say. Nothing good ever comes out of Michigan. Nothing good. That always gets big jokes when I do my seminars and talks.
Yeah.
Nothing good ever comes out of Michigan. But that's where it started, man. It started started right along the coast there in the Detroit area, and it's everywhere now. So, yeah, unfortunately, the ash trees, again, were a wonderful variety species for us, and we'll see ash trees again. There are Chinese varieties of ash that are completely resistant to the emerald ash borer, and so those trees can survive perfectly fine. And we'll get different varieties that will be introduced, and there's probably varieties already introduced that'll be commercially available to plant in your yard. Obviously, you're not going to reforest the native varieties that grew, you know, in our woods and stuff. That's a what they call an exotic pest that was shipped into us that has had a really unbelievably, you know, negative impact to our environment. And then you know, ash trees, I believe, is the only wood that Louisville Slugger uses to make bats. And
that
so
traditionally was, I've understood that they started using something else, but
just it
experimenting.
Is a, yeah, it is a very hard wood. I guess maybe a topic for another day.
Yeah. We can talk about baseball bats.
No, I was meaning ash trees, not baseball bats.
let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with some more stuff from Steve Stone. We'll learn about all kinds of things back in just a minute.
Mow, dig, haul, lift. versatile Kubota BX Series subcompact tractor does it all. Switching attachments is simple, and a smooth hydrostatic transmission makes for easy operation. The Kubota BX Series, the number one selling subcompact tractor in the U.S. for over 10 years. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Your Kubota dealer is Hall Brothers in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
This is Matt with Wangler Ace Hardware inviting you to our Milwaukee Tools Demo Day on Thursday, November 5th. This will be our biggest and our best power tool event so far. The store will be filled with the latest Milwaukee product and stacked with huge one-day-only deals. If you're looking for a great deal on a Milwaukee power tool, you will definitely find it here at Wangler Ace Hardware on Thursday, November 5th. We'll see you there.
They're focused. They see the future as an opportunity. They're growing, and they're looking for someone like you who shares in the same vision for a better future. Cooper Farms has been raising turkeys since 1938, and today they're raising hogs and chicken egg layers and making a variety of delicious food products. What's in store next for Cooper Farms? Join them in their quest for innovation, opportunity, and growth. Apply online today at cooperfarms.com/join our team. Cooper Farms, it's more than just a workplace.
Election Day is coming up on Tuesday, November 3rd, and once again, the Trinity Lutheran Church will be having their popular spaghetti supper. They'll be serving from 4 to 7 p.m., and this year it will be carry-out only, and there will be no pre-sale tickets this year. The carry-out meal includes spaghetti, breadsticks, and dessert. Just follow the signs on North Wayne Street for their drive-thru. Tickets are again only $6, and all proceeds will go to their local Friends in Need Fund. So don't miss the Trinity Lutheran's annual Election Day Spaghetti Supper from 4 to 7 on Tuesday, November 3rd.
We're back. Walk through the garden with Steve Stone. Been talking about fall color and various things with trees. What else do we have for today?
Well, again, like we talked about before the break, get out there today. Boy, it just seems like it's going to be a beautiful day. A little frosty this morning, but certainly going to be a wonderful day. And check out all those trees that are showing you just a tremendous amount of fall color. Talking before the break about maples, different varieties of maples, sugar maples, red maples, Norway maples, and what different fall colors you're going to see. With those, lindens are another native variety of tree for us. And lindens are lots of different varieties of lindens. Some, the more popular ones from a landscape standpoint would be like the greenspire linden. And greenspires are a very popular tree for landscaping. Very beautiful shape, broadly pyramidal. In fact, when they're young, at youth, they tend to have a shape that kind of reminds you of an ornamental pear. They have a very perfectly, again, broadly pyramidal shape. And those are going to have a really spectacular, and again, good color, golden yellow, long duration, very, very, very beautiful tree for summer as a shade tree and fall for fall color. Locust trees are also a very popular tree. Locusts are going to show you a yellow fall color. Locusts, again, are a native variety. The locust trees you'll find in the woods typically are just really gnarly with these huge spikes and thorns all up and down the stems, branches, and trunk. That's not the one that we normally plant in your landscaping, unless you don't like your neighbor. Then we could maybe find some that had the thorns on them. But the variety that we plant, it's commonly available in the industry, is the thornless honey locust. And the thornless honey locust obviously doesn't have any thorns. And again, nice tree, kind of a filtered shade. If you know what I'm talking about when I say locust, they have a compound leaf and a very, very small leaf. And so they give you a filtered shade, not a dense shade. And then as they, this time of year, as they start to defoliate, lose their leaves, you're going to find there's really not a lot to rake up. If you mow across them a couple of times with your lawnmower, there's really nothing to rake up. So a lot of people like like that fact. So they're going to give you a nice yellow fall color, not hugely showy like a maple might be, but still a good good landscape tree. Some trees just simply aren't going to give you much fall color. You know, other natives for us would be, you know, like a sycamore. Sycamores are beautiful throughout the season. Really huge arching branches. They can just absolutely get enormous in the landscaping. Really large leaf. I mean, the leaves are probably even way bigger than your hand. Really, really large leaf, but they usually don't have much as far as fall color goes. May show you a hint of yellow, but then they pretty much immediately turn brown and fall off. Another tree for us that has an outstanding fall color would be sweet gum. Sweet gums are absolutely beautiful, and I remember specifically when I was at Ohio State, the Chadwick Arboretum, which is kind of out across from the Schott, from the Schottenstein Center. It was tiny when I was there, and I worked there a lot when I was at the university because I worked for Ohio State in the horticulture department, and we did a lot of work and projects and stuff out there. They had some really mature sweet gums out there, and again, probably one of the on campus. Anyhow, probably one of the prettiest fall color trees that I can remember from being on campus. Most people remember the bars. I remember the trees. Yeah, I'm kind of a dork.
Well, there might be a reason you don't remember going to the bars. I was there last night. Oh, we learned.
No, that was my brother that was always a bad influence on me. If it wasn't for him, I would always been working. But the sweet gums definitely have a tremendous fall color. And again, there's lots of different varieties, but for the most part, you'll find, you know, you can find yellows, oranges, and purples all on the same tree, and you'll just see such a variety, kind of a montage of different colors. And they have a very long duration as far as fall color goes. And the leaves are kind of a unique shape, too, in that the leaves are look like a star. They have a star-shaped leaf. Some people at a glance say they look like a maple, and to me, they don't look anything like a maple. They have more of a star-shaped leaf, but really, really, really outstanding fall color. And again, a really good shade tree for us here in this part of Ohio. Another really interesting tree that had or has a really neat fall color and very unusual kind of a habit is the ginkgo tree. And the ginkgo trees, they had a lot of those around the library at Ohio State. So I saw those all the time as I was coming and going from the library to do all my studying.
You couldn't study in your dorm room or your apartment?
No, not when you have roommates like I had. Oh, okay. You had to get the heck away from those people. So they had some really cool trees there. The ginkgo trees were there, and then out on the ag campus out by the ag admin building, and I know they're still there. They had some really beautiful ginkgo trees. And in fact, there was ginkgo trees planted in the Fort Recovery, and I think there's only one left that I planted back in 91 or 92 when we did the or 90? When would we do the downtown revitalization? Come on.
Yes.
You know the dates. You know everything.
No, I don't know the dates.
It was 91 when we did the downtown revitalization.
Yep.
I planted some ginkgos on the main drag, and I think there's only one left. I think they either got cut down or the one across from next to the monument shop croaked. But anyhow, there's one left. The ginkgo trees are really unique tree. They're one of the only trees that the leaves have parallel venation, so the veins run perpendicular or parallel to each other. And what's really cool about those is they have a tremendous golden yellow fall color. What's really cool about those is, especially the ones I remember from Ohio State that were right next to the Ag Administration Building, was when they started to fall, that they would show really pretty fall color, and then they would start to kind of rain leaves, and they literally would, as they started to drop leaves, they literally would drop all their leaves within about 2 days. And you would walk by them, and they would, once the foliage started to fall, they would just fall and continue to fall. And so the trees would be bare in about 2 days. And they would just rain leaves down, which is kind of normal for the tree, the way it sheds, which I, like I said, I thought was kind of a neat trait. But the ginkgos are very unique tree, very long-lived. They said that ginkgos are a living fossil, because supposedly there was ginkgo trees back when there was dinosaurs. So that's a very, it's not a native tree, but certainly a tree that is a really cool habit, really cool foliage. It's a really interesting tree. Just make sure you buy a male ginkgo, because the female ginkgos produce a fruit. Actually, it produces a seed with a really heavy, fleshy cover over the seed. And when those start to fall and hit the ground, wow, do they stink. So you can't go buy a female. You have to buy anybody that's growing them. They are a tree readily available in the industry, but they're always males. So you don't. Definitely don't want a female for sure. So again, if you have any questions, you can always give me a call. We've got some really beautiful trees on hand at the shop, and like I had mentioned in the past, it's a good time to plant trees, and it's a great time to buy trees, because a lot of the stuff we have on hand currently is on sale, because we're a lot better off planting those and selling them at a sale price and getting them in the ground than trying to overwinter them above ground. So great time of year to get your plantings done.
Okay. Well, let's take one more break. We'll come back and kind of wrap things up here, but we'll be back with Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone.
You could spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on plastic surgery and a new wardrobe, but that's not what would make people love you. Now, a new brick paver patio, that would be a start. Maybe a fireplace. Oh, I know, a fire pit and a water feature. Oh, you're going to be so loved. Forget the gray-haired dude on TV selling online romance. Have Kurt and Eric, the real artist at Nature's Green, give you the makeover that will make you and your home irresistible. Nature'sGreenNursery.com.
Proudly serving the Fort Recovery area for over 23 years, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has the expertise to handle any dirt work you need. From installing waterways and building pads to demolition work and septic system installation, Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage has all the equipment you need to get the job done right. Does your driveway need some fresh gravel, or do you need some dirt hauled in? We can take care of all your hauling needs as well. Give Brian a call at 419-852-6655. Fort Camp Excavating and Farm Drainage. Go Indians.
Be sure to tune in tonight as our Indians begin the football playoffs. Jeff Hobbs and Joe Bruns will bring you the action live with our pregame show starting around 6:40. And you can watch the game live on the NFHS Network with Fort Recovery Radio Audio. Don't forget, Saturday football for the playoffs this year. Be sure to tune in tonight to catch all the action live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians. The Fort Recovery Community Club's Fall Fish Fry is coming up this Saturday, October 17th, with serving from 4 to 7:30. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on St. Peter Road for their famous fish with all the fixings, this year featuring premium pollock loin. And there'll be hot dogs for the kids if they don't want fish. It's only $10 for all you care to eat, and carryouts will also be available, and it's only $5 for kids 10 and under. Stop out at the Progressive Sportsman's Club on Saturday evening, October 17th, and try out their new premium pollock loin fish fry, serving from 4 to 7:30. And they'll have the Fort Recovery football playoff game on the big screen, so hang around after the fish fry and watch the Indians football game against Fairbanks.
And we're back on A Walk Through the Garden with Steve Stone, and we've been talking about fall foliage and trees and things. So what else do we want to talk about before we wrap things up?
Well, again, this is the time of year, I had mentioned before the break, planting, great time of year for planting anything. If you have, again, planting trees, shrubs, whatever, really good time of year to do that. extended forecast looks actually pretty good. Actually looks really good. As far as temperature goes, next week temperatures in the 50s into the 60s. And then nighttime temps looks like there's really all of next week there's really not much of a chance of frost. And so forecast looks great. Again, great time of year to get any of your planting done. Also, I had talked about in a couple of different weeks in the past, fall fertilization is just hugely critical to keeping your landscape plants, trees, and your lawn looking nice. You know, again, everybody wants to get out there and do that work in the spring, and I get it. I understand that. But fall's actually a better time to do, you know, fertilization. And again, I've talked about this in the past, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but springtime fertilization, you're putting fertilizer down, which the plants need, whether, again, I'm talking plants generically, you know, woody plants, perennials, or your turf. That food is going to be put into new growth. So you're going to promote lots of new growth, which is fine, especially with your plants in the spring. They're going to be putting out new growth, new foliage, flowers. You know, it's promoting growth. With your turf, it's going to be promoting growth, which I had mentioned in the past, again, is something that's, you know, going to be promoting you mowing three nights a week. When you start talking about fall fertilization, it's just, You're not producing growth. You're producing health, I guess you could say. You're producing a heavy root system. You're producing fat roots. You're producing growth below ground, which again, you know, in this day and age of immediate gratification, you're not noticing anything necessarily. You may not notice the lawn, you know, perk up and look really dense and healthy if you're doing fall fertilization. But I'm telling you that fall's the best time to do that fertilization, because you're going to appreciate that and notice that in the spring. You're going to notice that in March, April. You're not going to notice it immediately, but it is doing a good job. And again, people always think about fertilizing their lawns and they want to make sure their lawns are thick and healthy. You can fertilize with the same type of fertilizer. You can take that granular fertilizer and fertilize your shrubs and trees and perennials and stuff around your house as well. And as we're getting rain, and next week there definitely looks like a different weather pattern heading this direction, because there's showers a number of days for next week. So this weekend, today and tomorrow look, you know, beautiful temperature-wise, lots of sun. So it'd be a good idea to fertilize your lawn, fertilize your landscape plants, tree, shrubs, because we are going to get into a pattern, it looks like, next week where we're going to get some rain showers, so that granular fertilizer is going to work its way down into the soil. It's going to get picked up by the roots, and you're just promoting good growth habits. You're promoting a healthy plant, and you're promoting winter hardiness, because if the plant's happy and full, it's going to overwinter a lot better. So fall fertilization is huge. So that's definitely needs to be on your priority list. We had a really kind of a spotty, weird summer with warm temperatures, not ridiculously warm, but, you know, on and off. And again, depending on where you're at, kind of droughty. So lawns really were kind of struggling coming through the summertime. And again, we really haven't had any significant consistent rain shower. So lawns are struggling. So fertilization this time of year is going to be huge to get that lawn to fill in those thin spots and bare spots. And then again, growing a cool season turf, which bluegrass is a cool season turf, we're in the perfect time of year. Even with frosty nights, we're in a perfect time of year for growing bluegrass.
Yep. So I just a real quick thing. I'm in the process of digging up my entire hill in front of my house, and it's a long process. It's clay, and there's a lot of ground cover. I'm trying to get that up and get the roots of that stuff out so it doesn't come back. So I was hoping I would be done by now, but I'm about two-thirds done, so I could be replanting what I want to have in there. Am I getting to be too late? It's going to be, with rain next week, it's going to be probably another 2 weeks before I finish. It'll be November before I get started planting? Is that too late or just sort of too late, later than you want?
Planting woody trees and shrubs is perfectly fine right now that have completely intact root systems in a container, bald and burlapped. However, you're thinking perfect time of year to move that. And really, you can move that type of stuff even up till snow flies as long as the ground's not froze. Now, if you're dividing and separating and moving perennials and stuff around, kind of like what you're doing, you do get to a point where if you don't give it much of an opportunity to get some roots out before winter sets in, that can be problematic, that the plants may not overwinter. The one way that will be beneficial and helpful for you as far as moving, dividing, and separating that can extend your season is when you do get done, I know you're not going to want me to say this because it's going to mean more work, is to put some mulch over top of it. When you do get everything divided, separated, and you're happy and everything's planted, put a nice thick, and when I say thick, about a 2-2.5 inch thick layer of mulch across everything. That's actually, again, going to be a great insulator. It's going to insulate the warmth in the soil. It's going to be a blanket for all of your flowers to give them a chance to overwinter. And again, you know, who knows? I've been reading and doing just a slight bit of research on what they're calling for this winter, and as near as I can tell, some of the sites I've been to and some of the reading I've done, they're talking like a El Nino winter, which means it's going to be warm and wet, you know, not warm, but just warm and wet being rain. They're not talking about, at least, and again, who knows?
That's a
crap shoot. You don't know what you're going to get. But I did just recently read an article where they said El Nino winter, which means, you know, disappointingly gray, not cold, not warm, you know, just gray and lots of rain, which...
But we don't have to shovel as much?
Gets on my nerves. The gray really gets on my nerves. But warmer temperatures, so not a lot of snow. But yeah, when you have that El Nino weather pattern, it's lots of rain and, you know, 30s and 40s. So if we have a mild winter, you're fine. Those plants will do perfectly fine. Yep.
So the mulch that we put in the back and around this summer, do I want to try to get rid of any of that and put new down?
No, what's there currently for your existing landscaping is perfectly fine. That, again, is, you know, I wouldn't, in your situation, with all the work that you have to do and with all the work you're doing, all the fine work you're doing with the radio station, I know you don't. And with the you know, day lengths getting, you know, shorter and shorter and shorter, your time is really minimal. I would just worry about getting that work done out front and then mulching that. Everything out back is going to be perfectly fine. There's nothing that you're really going to have to do. Give it any extra TLC out back. That stuff's been planted long enough that it's going to be fine making it through the winter. The work you're currently doing out front, that's where I would focus.
Yeah.
Get that done and then get some mulch down on that.
Yep. So that's kind of been my plan, but I just I was thinking I could dig 2 or 3 hours a day, and about 45 minutes to an hour and a half is all I can do, because that's my knees don't care for that, stomping on that shovel.
Yeah, and
in
again,
the clay.
And again, I was doing some plantings and replacements, and I wear a lot of different hats, and so some days I might be on appointments and running from client to client, and then this week I did have some replacements I did and some planting for some clients and friends and family, and it is, unfortunately, it's dry.
Yeah.
And that makes digging holes, if digging holes are not fun when it's got some moisture in the ground, it's really not fun when it's as dry as what it is right now, because getting that shovel in the ground in our heavy clay soils is not a fun task.
Yeah, that heavy clay filled with
the roots.
With the roots of the
the vinca?
The myrtle, whatever it is. That, man, there's a lot of roots there, and there's some big roots of the sweet pea that look like tree roots. so there's a lot. It takes one shovel full. I dig up, and it from the time I start the putting the shovel in till I get all the roots and stuff all knocked loose is about 5 minutes a shovel full.
Yeah, that's not fun. And no. Like I said, as dry as it is, it makes it a lot more difficult.
Sometimes I think it'd be easier if I just took something and just skimmed that whole top six inches or a foot off.
Hillside
and
off.
And covered it, filled it back up with topsoil. But that's a lot of work and a lot of expense. So, anything else we want to hit before we
I think
for this week?
I think we've got everything under control for today. Now, next Saturday, we're going to have Buckeye football to talk about, thank goodness, and then lots of other
landscapes. Well, there'll be COVID, and that'll all get canceled.
Oh, my goodness. Don't say that. I try not to listen to Mike DeWine, but I understand his panties are all in a wad with everything going on. So,
yeah,
maybe he'll close everything down again.
Well, probably not.
Yeah,
but we'll see. All right.
Hey, thanks everybody for tuning in.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us again this week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone. If you have a gardening question you'd like Steve to answer, just email him at steve@naturesgreennursery.com and he'll answer it on a later show. Be sure to join us again next week for a walk through the garden with Steve Stone.